Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Professor Poniatowski.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm fine, thank you.
Lovely, great to hear from you. Once again, I do hope that your day has been well.
Yes,
lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely, thank you so much. Now we are concluding our discussion on, the creation and just what kind of God is our creator. I want to look at that. It's such an infinite personage interested in you and me. No. So today we conclude our lesson on the Bible account of creation by looking into what it tells us about God and why, you know, it should matter. Now, how does God creatorship distinguish him from other gods? Prof?
Yes, thank you for this question. Yes, really, when we look at God who created the world, and we look at, for example, stories of in different nations, I mean, different Babylonian or other stories of creation, we can see big difference between God who created and us, I mean, biblical story and other stories. And I would like maybe to pay attention to one verse in the Bible that is not in the book of Genesis, but in the book of Psalm. Mm. And this is Psalm 8 and verse 5. And the issue is that in many translations, it is not translated properly. Sometimes it is translated so that the psalmist asks a question, who is the man that you visited him? And what is a man actually? And he says that a man is created a little bit lower. In some translations, it says a little bit lower than angels.
But
in fact, this translation is not correct because it's taken from the Septuagint.
Oh, okay.
In Septuagint, this is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, mm-hmm. and it was done approximately in the second century before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Jewish people who translated the psalm, they already had a kind of a heavenly hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there is a God. They also made up or like seven archangels, and after that angels, and only after that man. But what is interesting in the Bible, in the original text in Hebrew, it is written that you created him a little bit lower than God, than himself.
Oh.
So do you see, this is the difference. I believe this is the big difference.
Huge
so
difference.
It means that we are in the heavenly hierarchy. We are just a little bit lower than God himself.
Wow.
And it tells a lot about who God is and how he loves us, because he not simply creates, like for example in ancient Near East legends about creation, when God or gods created man just to be a slave. No, he creates somebody who is very close to him. Yeah, so I believe it is an important difference, and it is it is actually an important issue about us, who we are in the creation. So how we are precious in God's eyes. And also, I very like, it is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and this is the 1 John chapter 3.
Yes.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. Let me read it.
Yeah.
See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children, and we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. John says that we are already God's children. We are very close to him. We are very precious in his eyes. And it is not yet revealed whom we will be. But this is an important issue about us and about creation and about God as well. So God is a great God who created us just to be his image and to be his likeness.
Wow. Man, you know, Prof, that's actually a very big one for me. And it actually then should be followed by the question that how does then the creation story in general and, you know, looking at the creation of humanity as well as you explained it, how does all of that inform our relationship with God and his care for humanity?
Yeah, it tells us about it, because do you see, God created man to be his image, to be his likeness.
Mm.
And sometimes, do you see, there are many different discussions about what it means to be image and likeness of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And scholars try to analyze it from different perspectives, from, and they give different labels to different theories.
Mm.
And of course, the Bible is not about that, not about the theories. And sometimes I just use such kind of an illustration. So what does it mean to be the image of God? So for example, if you somebody look from the distance on God, see from distance God and man. So in this case, this person would say that they are very, very much alike. They're very similar to each other.
Mm.
And this similarity is not just a physical similarity. It is more than just physical similarity. But it is very, very important that we are a God's image, God's likeness. So we are created to be almost like God.
Mm.
And it tells us about our relationship with God. And actually, do you see the same issue we can find in the New Testament? Because of the sin, we can see that the image of God was distorted in us.
Mm.
And I very often use the illustration of the mirror. So when you look in the mirror, you can see your image. And if the mirror is good, so you can see your, let us say, perfect image. But for example, if the mirror is not straight, yeah. For example, if somebody looks in a spoon, he also will see his image, but this image will be distorted. So the same happened with us after the sin, after the fall. So our image of God or image of God in us is distorted. So we cannot, because of the sin, reflect the fullness of this image.
Mm.
But Jesus Christ came in order to restore the image of God in us. And this is what the New Testament says. When, for example, Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I live no more, but Jesus lives in me.
Mm.
So it means that we must be again this image of God, so that we have again this relationship with God, and we can be saved by God.
Mm, that's a powerful one. Now, we're talking about creation, by the way. So God creates us, and he gives us creative abilities as well. That's why...
And it is part of the image of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Of being the image of God.
Ah, okay. That's actually quite powerful.
And it's very interesting now. For example, when you speak about AI, mm-hmm. that is penetrates all spheres of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And what is interesting, do you see, God created man after his image and his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
And now man wants to create something after man's image and mm-hmm. after man's likeness.
Oh, yeah.
So even by creating this AI, man shows this image of God, because God gave him this ability to create, ability to be a creator, something like this, yeah.
Mm. Now, would you say then that God still creates or has creative power even this day?
Yes, of course. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ says that God creates until now. So God creates, I believe, all the time. He creates something, because it is his nature of being a creator. And it's very amazing. Even we are happy when we create something and this creation is successful and is working and is functioning. So we are happy. For example, when we have children, we are also happy because it's also like a part of being the image of God. So I believe God, he creates all the time, and his creation power doesn't cease.
And it will never cease as well.
Never cease, yes.
Now, you know, talking about creation and having to really know the proper, correct, you know, biblical account of creation, why does it matter? Why should we know and believe in that? Why should it be part of our main pillars of beliefs?
Okay, first of all, the Bible says that we need to worship God as our creator. And it is important because when we worship God as our creator, in this case, we show our reverence to God, and we show our loyalty to God's faithfulness to God as we worship him as our creator. And also, it is the way how we can be improved, let us say, not improved, maybe improved, not a good word, but by building this relationship with Jesus, our creator, we can, because we are now, we have this sinful nature and everything that doesn't help us to be a real image of God or to reflect fully image of God. When we worship God as our creator, when we acknowledge him as our creator, we can, it is the way to salvation. So it is the way how we can come to God, how can we be redeemed from our sinful nature. So I believe it is important.
Yeah. Especially that we've got to understand that we are also sinful human beings and in the universe.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, beautiful one. Now, lastly, before I let you go, Prof, what is the connection between creation and salvation? Is there a connection, actually?
Yes. So what we can say about creation and salvation? So when we look at the Bible, the whole history of salvation, let us say, it starts from the creation and it is finished with the new creation. So because of the sin, we need to be recreated again. And we know when Jesus comes back, so he will recreate us. So this new creation will be a climax of the entire history of salvation. When our sinful nature will be completely destroyed or removed, and we will get a new nature. So we will again be restored in the status that Adam had before fall.
Right. Prof, before I then say goodbye to you, what's the most important thing that you just want to leave with our listeners this afternoon?
I believe that the most important thing that we can see in creation, that it is God's love. So because when he created us, when he created this nature, this beautiful nature, and he placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he did everything with love. We can see this love even when we look at the nature outside. We can see, we can feel how God loves us and how he cares about us. And I believe it is one of the greatest messages that we find in the Bible. God loves us and he wants to save us. And he wants to do everything to save us. And we can see it in creation as well.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, Professor Poniatowski, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Always a pleasure talking to you. Wishing you a fantastic Sabbath ahead.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.